Matthew 27 this morning, and I'll be there in just a second. Matthew 27, let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away, delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord had appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his hand, or in his right hand, and they bowed the knees before him, and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man, a Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. About the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard it, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, and set in a watch. And of course we know in the next chapter, on the first day of the week, he comes forth from the grave. Amen. I wanted to read all those scriptures this morning so that we could realize what Christ has done for us. We talk about it a lot. We talk about his crucifixion. We talk about his sufferings and different things. But we need to read it every now and then and let it sink into our hearts what Christ did for us, giving himself freely on our behalf. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help me this morning as we preach his word. Father, I do love you. Thank you again for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you, Father, for each and every one that's come. I do thank you, Father, for each testimony and each song that's been sung this morning. Thank you for the offering that's been given, Lord, to keep thy work going, to send missionaries around the world. Father, we thank you, Lord, that God, that you've been good to us, and I just pray, Lord, you continue to meet the needs of our hearts and lives. Father, we ask you, Lord, today that you'd cleanse me of my sins. Lord, fill me with thy spirit and help me to preach with liberty and boldness today. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody lost, that they'd be saved. If somebody's saved and backslidden, I pray, Lord, that they get right with you and get back close to you. Lord, stir us all for thy name's honor and glory. Help us, Father, to be what you'd have us to be in these days and hours. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 27 this morning, Matthew 27, we want to preach on a man named Barabbas. Amen. Talk about Barabbas this morning with the Lord's help. And of course, in Matthew 27, the Bible speaks of Barabbas in different ways. And I want to notice, first of all, his sinfulness this morning. Barabbas was a sinner, we notice from this portion of Scripture. And of course, they persuaded the multitude there in verse 20 that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But Barabbas was a rebel. I want you to realize that this morning, that Barabbas was a rebellious person. The Bible says in Mark 15 and verse 7, there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. The word insurrection means rising against civil or political authority. And of course, Barabbas was a man who rose up against the political authority of his day, amen, or the civil authorities. He was a lawbreaker, all right. In Luke 23 and verse 25, the Bible says that he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. The word sedition means a rising or raising of a mob to rebel against the government, law, and authority. Amen. And so not only was he rebellious against the law, but he raised up a rebellious crowd to try to overthrow the government. All right. And so he was a rebel. And not only was Barabbas a rebel, but he was a murderer. Okay. And of course, in these references above, the Bible says he had committed murder in the insurrection. That means that he took somebody's life, not by self-defense, but he had murdered somebody. Amen. He premeditatedly took their life, no doubt. He had murder in his heart. The Bible says in 1 John 3:15, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we see here that Barabbas was a lawbreaker. He was a rebel, and he was a murderer. He had murder in his heart, and so he didn't have eternal life abiding in him. Amen. And so he was lost, was he not? And not only was he a rebel and a murderer, but John 18:40 says, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And so Barabbas was a thief. Amen. He's a rebel, he's a murderer, and he's a thief. And no murder has eternal life about him in him, John said. And then not only that, but he was notorious. In Matthew 27, verse 16, the Bible says, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And so he was well known as a criminal, as a transgressor of the law. He wanted to break out from the authority of the Roman government and gain authority, no doubt, for himself. But in 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So Barabbas was a sinner, all right. And of course, in this portion of Scripture, we want to look at Barabbas as a type of a lost sinner. And of course, Jesus Christ is the answer for lost sinners. But the Bible says that whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law, and for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 3:8 says, for he that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And so I'm glad that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. But the Bible teaches us that he that committeth sin is of the devil. So the Bible teaches that everybody's a sinner. So are we all of the devil? Well, it was before we were saved, wasn't we? That means the devil had control of our life. The devil influenced us and got us to do things that wasn't right, and we went right along with him. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Amen. And so we all are a bunch of sinners. If you're saved, you're a saved sinner. Amen. If you're lost, you're a lost sinner. But thank God I'm saved by his marvelous grace, and my sins are under the blood. Romans 3:23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, the Bible says, and offend in one point is guilty of all. Brother James said in James chapter 2 and verse 10, for he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And so when the law says not to do something and you do it, you become a transgressor, right? So we all know that we're sinners. In the building this morning, would you agree with me that we're all sinners? Are we all was lost in sin at one time? Most everybody in here is saved. Might be a few in here that's not saved this morning, but we was all lost in sin at one time. Barabbas was a terrible sinner. He's a rebel. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's notoriously known to be such. Amen. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. I'll get to my point in just a minute. But in Exodus chapter 20 this morning, we want to look at some of the law here. This is just 10 little commandments of the law, all right? And they're not so little, are they? Amen. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. That is one of the great commandments here. He says, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so the Lord says here that you're not to have any other gods before me. Now what is a god? It's something that you worship. Amen. And of course, God, I'm talking about other gods, little G-O-Ds, okay, can be anything that separates you from the true and living God. Anything that you put before him. Anything that you bow down to and give in to other than him, amen, becomes a god in your life.
Amen.
It can be your own body. It can be money. It can be possessions. It can be loved ones. It can be all kinds of things.
Amen.
If you love your children more than you love God, you make a god out of your children.
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm not saying don't love your children. I'm just saying if you love your children more than you love God. If you put your children before God, then you're making a god out of your child, and you got to be careful that God don't take your child away.
Amen.
If you put your car before God, God may take your car away.
Amen.
You put your house before God, God may take your house away.
Right.
Amen. I'm saying he won't have no other gods before him. And we're not to practice idolatry, amen. We're not to put other things before God in our life. Now, most people do. Amen. I'm talking lost people do. They put all kinds of things before the true and living God. I mean, they make gods out of all kinds of things. Some people make gods out of money. You know, they got to make more money. They got millions and billions of dollars, and they got to make more money. Money becomes their god.
Amen.
They can't go to church because they have to make more money. They can't trust in Jesus Christ because they can't live the kind of lifestyle that they're living and live for Christ.
Amen.
And so that becomes a god in their life. So Barabbas, we see his sinfulness. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 20 again and pray the Lord help me. Amen. And verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself them to serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Amen. God is a jealous God. And then look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now that verse is not just talking about cussing. Okay, that's talking about you name the name of Christ. The Bible says, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But if we name the name of Jesus Christ and we live like the devil, we take his name in vain.
Amen.
Amen. When the world sees us out there living like the devil, amen, and we claim to be a child of God, be a Christian, we take his name in vain. And the Bible says God will not hold us guiltless. We'll have to pay some consequences for that. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Now we as Christians, we observe the Lord's Day, amen, the day of Jesus Christ's resurrection. We've done that since he resurrected from the dead. We're not under the law, we are under grace, and we are keeping the Lord's Day today, the first day of the week, not Saturday.
Amen.
All right? But we are to have a day set aside to worship him.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe that you ought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. And worship God. Now, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Amen. Somebody lives with you, bring them to church with you. Amen. Somebody comes to visit with you, bring them to church with you.
Amen.
Amen. If your mama comes and visits you and says, I'm not going to church today, I told my mama one time, I'm not picking on, I love my mama and I honor my mama. And I remember she visited me one time in South Carolina and her and my sister, and I said, let's go to church tomorrow. Tomorrow's the Lord's Day. And they said, we didn't bring nothing to wear. I said, wear what you got, amen. I just go to church. No, I'm not going with what I got to wear. I said, well, you wait on us. We get home. We're going to church.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to church. We go to church.
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm just saying, it don't matter if somebody comes. It don't matter if they're having a family reunion on the Lord's Day. I'm not going.
Amen.
Amen. My family's at church.
Amen.
If they want to have family reunion on the Lord's Day, amen, they can have it without me.
Amen.
They want to have it on Saturday, I might go. If they want to have it on Friday, I might go, amen, or some other day during the week, but I'm not going on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
And so, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days do your work, rest on the seventh day. The Bible says, Sabbath unto the Lord. And then, in 6 days, verse 11, the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. And so I think we ought to hallow the Lord's day.
Amen.
Verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. You need to honor your mom and daddy, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That means lying on somebody, trying to get them in trouble. Amen. Telling people they did something they didn't do. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And so these are just 10 little commandments. And I guarantee you these... You probably broke one or two of these at least, I'd say.
Amen.
I can look down through that list and I broke several of them.
Amen.
Before I got saved. And I probably broke one or two of them after I got saved.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying we're sinners. We're a bunch of sinners, amen. And if it weren't for Jesus Christ, we'd all be in hell this morning.
Amen.
But Barabbas was a sinful man. Barabbas was a sinful man. Now, not only is he a sinful man we see here, we see his sinfulness, but I want you to notice his sentence here. The Bible says that he was bound in Mark chapter 15, verse 7. There was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And so Barabbas was not only a transgressor of the laws of God and a sinner and worthy of judgment and punishment, amen. His sentence was here that he wanted part of his sentence, he was chained. Now, the Bible says that we were in bonds of sin at one time. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We're in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to the devil, just like Barabbas was in bondage here because of his sin. Okay, they had him chained up. And so he's chained and he's condemned. He's already been judged. He's already been found guilty. We quoted that verse out of John chapter 3 this morning. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so he's bound in the chains of his sin. They got him locked up in a dungeon. And he's condemned by the law. The law has condemned him to death. And he's to be crucified on a cross. That was the means of capital punishment. What had he done to deserve that? Well, he's murdered. He's tried to overthrow the government. Amen. For the capital crime of sedition and murder, he deserves to be on that middle cross. Amen. Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. I still believe in capital punishment. I believe that if man commits murder, that the authorities ought to put him to death. He ought to be held accountable for taking somebody's life by premeditated murder. I'm not talking about self-defense, and I'm not talking about fighting in the war, amen. I'm talking about somebody murder somebody because they're envious or jealous or hate that person in their heart, and they meditate about it, and they think about it, and they decide to do it, and they take that person's life. They're guilty of murder, and they ought to be put to death.
Amen.
Don't let them stay in prison for 20 years, go through appeals and all that stuff. You ought to take them out and hang them if they're guilty. Make sure they're guilty. Amen. I believe in fair trials. There's a lot of innocent people been put to death, a lot of innocent people in prison. But I tell you what, if it's obvious somebody is guilty of that, they ought to hang them. Show no mercy on them. Amen. That's what God said. I'm just saying what God said. God said, if you take shed man's blood, by man shall your blood be shed. Those moral laws are still in effect. Amen.
Amen.
Just like the Ten Commandments, they're still in effect.
Amen.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. They're still in effect, are they not?
Yes.
The law is made for transgressors. And of course, when you get saved by the grace of God, you ought to quit doing those things. Get saved by the grace of God, you ought to live right. I tell you what, if you're saved by the grace of God, anybody in this city ought to be able to give you a key to their house and not worry about you stealing nothing out of it.
Amen.
I've got, now listen, I'm not perfect by no means, but I've got keys to about 3 different houses in this city that people has given me. I could go in their house at any time and steal whatever I wanted to, but I don't do it.
Amen.
I work for some elderly ladies and they entrust me with the key of their house. I never go in their house when they're not there.
Amen.
And I never had a thought of going into their house when they're not there.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord changed my life when I got saved. Now, before I was saved, I might have done something like that. But I don't do it no more. And so the Bible teaches here that Barabbas is a sinful man and that he's under sentence to be crucified. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin brings forth death. Do you know that all sinners are going to die eternally if they don't get saved by the grace of God? The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I still believe in a literal hell. I believe in a burning hell. I believe that God sends people to hell if they don't believe in His Son. I believe that they're going to the lake of fire if they don't trust in His Son. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that just as much as John 3:16 or any other verse in the Bible. I believe that God's word is true and God will judge the wicked. He'll turn them into hell, amen. That don't mean God don't love people. That don't mean that God didn't care about people. He did care about the world and sent His Son to die for their sins, but they've rejected His Son, the world as a whole. Revelation 20 verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If they're not in the book of life, they're not going to heaven, they're going to the lake of fire. That's pretty simple. It's a simple message, amen. But we're talking about Barabbas. He was a sinful man. Committed murder, committed insurrection. He was a robber, notorious criminal. He had committed crimes that were worthy of capital punishment. And the capital form of capital punishment was crucifixion. And he was bound in a dungeon awaiting the sentence to be carried out. Okay, on the same day that those two thieves that were hanging beside Jesus was to be crucified, he was sentenced to death on the cross that same day. Barabbas was. But so we see his sinfulness, and then we see there his sentence. And lastly, this morning I want you to see his Savior. Amen. Who was sinless. In Matthew chapter 27 verse 17 says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I want you to notice here that the wife of Pilate said, don't have nothing to do with that just man. And Pilate, after examining him, said, I find no fault in him. Why should he be crucified? They said, why, if you don't crucify him, you're not Caesar's friend. He said, who you want me to release unto you? They said, Barabbas. What shall I do with him that's called Jesus? Crucify him. Verse 22, Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? Amen. But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Pilate said, he's not guilty. He's a just person. He don't deserve to die on the cross. Barabbas needs to be on that cross. Barabbas is the one that's guilty. He's committed murder. He's tried to overthrow the government, and he needs to die. Who do you want me to release unto you? Barabbas? What am I supposed to do with this guiltless person? Crucify him? Crucify him. Did you know the one that saved Barabbas from death that day was Jesus Christ? And the one that saves us from eternal death is Jesus Christ. We're all a bunch of sinners. We're all condemned to hell, amen. But Christ intervened in our life, amen. He came to us before we came to him, amen. He drew us unto himself. He called us by his grace and saved us from our sins, amen, and set us free. But he did that by taking our place. Oh, Barabbas, now I'm just trying to put myself in Barabbas' place. Try to put yourself in Barabbas' place. He's laying in a dungeon. The hours are passing by. The minutes before they're to take him out and crucify him on a cross, he's resigned to dying. He knows that his hour is coming. He knows that he's fixing to die a cruel death on the cross. And about that time, they set him free. And he's wondering, what's going on? Why are they setting me free? He don't know whether to be happy. He don't know whether to fear. He don't know whether they're going to shoot him with an arrow or cut his head off with a sword. They don't know. He don't know what's going to happen. And so I can see him kindly sneaking out of the dungeon and going out the doors, looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. And maybe he asks somebody and says, "Why are they letting me go?" And maybe they said, there's a man called Jesus of Nazareth that's taking your place today. you mean Jesus of Nazareth, the one that I've been hearing about, been going about doing good and healing all manner of disease among the people, that meek and lowly Nazarene? The one that's raising people from the dead and preaching that men should repent and get and believe the gospel and he's not guilty of nothing. Why are they crucifying him? The people wanted to crucify him and set you free. I don't know about you, but if I would have been Barabbas, I'd have been truly grateful and thankful for somebody taking my place that day. But you know, Jesus took your place on the cross of Calvary, and he took my place. He was sinless, according to what Pilate said, what Pilate's wife said, what God the Father said, what others, what Herod said concerning him.
Amen.
There was nothing that he was guilty of that deserved him to hang on a cross.
Amen.
Luke 23:14, the Bible says, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Pilate examined him. Herod examined him. Pilate's wife had dreams about him. He was an innocent man. But yet they crucified him. He was sentenced. The Bible says, Matthew 27:26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They beat him almost to death. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. 39 stripes save one. Cut the flesh from his bones. He could have died of the beating had it not been the will of the Father to die on the cross. But they beat him without a cause. They crucified him without a cause. But yet there's a man named Barabbas that deserved to die that has went free. And that gets us down right where we are. Amen. We all deserve to die. We all deserve to hang on the cross. We all deserve to burn in hell. You don't think you do, amen, then you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible says we're all guilty of sin. We all transgress God's laws. There's probably people in this building this morning, you've had murder in your heart. You say, and I don't, maybe somebody in here has actually murdered somebody. I don't know. I don't know who has and who hasn't. I haven't. But I have murdered people in my heart before I got saved. I've hated people. I want to see people dead. I'm talking about some people, not all people. But they've been some people that before I got saved that I could have killed. And I could have died in the gas chamber. I could have spent my life in prison if I'd have done so. But I've been guilty of murdering in my heart. You say, well, I've never committed adultery as no man's wife or no woman's husband, amen. But maybe you've lusted after him. Lord Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery with her already. That's what Jesus said. You say, well, I ain't committed adultery with nobody, but have you lusted after them? Then you have committed adultery with them, according to what Christ said. So you're guilty of it. Now, the actual act carries more punishment than the thought of it. But you're just as guilty of sin of thinking it. If you're thinking about murdering somebody, you're just as guilty as somebody that murdered somebody. Amen. If you hate somebody that much and want them dead, amen, then you're just as guilty as the one that pulls the trigger. Barabbas was a guilty man. He was fixing to die, but Jesus Christ saved him, amen. Saved him from a sure death. And when he saved your soul, he saved you from a sure death in hell, burning forever and ever in the lake of fire. Isaiah 53 And verse 1, the Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as his root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, when you talk about substitution, Jesus Christ is the great substitute for the sinner. He substituted himself for you and I on the cross. Not only was Barabbas released that day from death, but every child of God was released from death that day. Those who have trusted in him. Amen. Had he not died that substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, we'd all end up in hell. But thank God he gave himself for us. John 8:36 says, If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. And so he set us free from sin, set us free from the depths of hell. Amen. We're not going to hell. We're not going to the lake of fire. And sin has no more dominion over us. Amen. He has set us free by substituting himself on the cross. John, 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now let me say in closing, I believe with all my heart that Barabbas knew that he was living. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying once they released him from prison, he knew he was still alive, didn't he? Amen. And I guarantee you, when you get delivered from the bondage of sin, are you listening? When you get delivered from the bondage of sin, when you get set free from your sin and the chains that the devil has on you, you'll know it.
Amen.
You know that you've been saved. You know that you've been born again. You don't have to doubt it. Amen. He brings you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He brings you into life out of death. He gives you eternal life. He puts his Holy Spirit within you. You're a new creation in Christ. Amen. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. You can't be saved and not know it.
That's right.
Amen. Now I guarantee you, old Barabbas knew he was out of prison. He knew that he had been spared the death penalty. And thank God, Jesus spared me from the death penalty December the 7th, 1975. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he set me free. He let me go. I don't have to die that terrible death no more. I don't have to be dead in trespasses and sins. I don't have to burn in hell. I don't have to be cast away from the presence of God forever. Amen. I've been born again. And I trust, I hope that you have. I hope that everybody in this building is. Amen. But if you're not this morning, Christ can set you free. He died in your place. He gave himself for you. But you got to trust him. You got to believe in him. You got to look to him. Repent of your sins, cry out for his mercy, ask him to forgive you and save you, and I guarantee he'll do it. Amen. If you mean it from your heart. Let's stand together this morning for prayer. Margaret's coming to the piano. We want to sing an invitation hymn this morning, and this is for those that need to respond to the Spirit of God. If God's Holy Spirit calls you and draws you unto salvation, you need to respond. If he draws you to the altar to pray about something, you need to respond. We want to sing Just As I Am, Margaret. Page 375 in the Green Hymn Book. page 375 this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for allowing us to come to your house today. Thank you most of all, Father, for sending your Son down to this old wicked world to take our place on Calvary, Lord, so that we wouldn't have to die an eternal death. Thank you, Father, that you forgive us our sins and Lord, loosed us from the chains that had us bound. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as your children to glorify you with our Christian life. Father, please, I pray that if there's somebody that's unsaved this morning, I pray that you'd speak to that heart. If there's one of these children that's reached the age of accountability and they realize for the first time in their life that they need to be saved, I pray that they'd come this morning. Somebody show them from the Bible how to be saved. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of this hymn this morning. If you need to come and pray, you pray. Amen. Just as I am.